You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
If you're new to Hillside, I want to just share a couple of things about our heart and our vision for children's ministry. And some of you know, I used to be a children's pastor. I was at Christ Community Church. And actually, it was a big church at that time. There were about 2,000 of us. Oh my goodness, Maria's here. She was my ministry assistant for a little while down there. That's James' mama. I'm not going to start. So anyway, we had a blast down there doing that. And I miss it. I miss being with the children. So next Sunday, I'm going to be back with the kids. You're going to be able to leave them with me. Santa Claus is coming to town next week. You're going to be able to leave them with me next week. And I'm going to wrap up the curriculum they did for the summer. You're going to hear in a few minutes all of what they learned about. They did a kids ministry curriculum based on God Chasers, that book, about how to really capture a heart that wants to chase after God. It's like the salvation kind of works a little bit like this. Jesus comes and he says, tag, you're it. And then it's the chase is on. And that's what the kids have been learning about this summer. How you don't just kick back. Now that Jesus has shown that kind of love for you, chase after him with all your heart. You're going to have the best life you can imagine. You're going to enjoy yourself. I got a flash picture this morning while we were praying of a group of kids just playing around with Jesus in the middle of a field. And that's just what he's like. And a lot of what we're about as Christians, what Jesus tries to do with us, is to teach us how to grow back down again instead of growing up so quick. And I'm turning 50 has been amazing, but watching my kids grow up like that, I mean, seeing them, you know, one in Hawaii, one in Australia, one in Boston, which is more like farthest away, the way it feels up there. I used to joke around, you know, in Psalm 127 where it says children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, so are the children born in one's youth. And I used to joke around about be careful how far you pull back that drawstring. Now it's not funny anymore because they go. When you raise them up in the Lord and you send them, they do go. And they'll go as far as Jesus will take them. And it's just an amazing journey like that. But I remember one of the things, watching six kids begin to grow up. We have a seven-year-old now, too. That's that adorable little thing that was sitting in my lap up here in the front. And I'm finding them savoring that, you know, those years when she can still snuggle in right here. I mean, when your son gets to be 6'1", he doesn't snuggle so much. It's like having a Labrador puppy on your lap, you know, this is all paws and that. But they grow up so fast, and I've been watching about what are the things that make us grow up, and how do we avoid growing up in the wrong way? Because Jesus said, unless you're converted and become like little children, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Like, it remains invisible as long as you remain grown up. I'll have some more to share about that at the end, but right now I want to prep us because we're going to receive ministry from the children. You've heard me share this phrase with you that God really gave me in a strong way when I was a children's pastor, which is that there is no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit that fills you and me fills the children too. He doesn't care what the size of the container is. It's the same Holy Spirit. And what's awesome about the children when they're released in ministry is that they keep it simple. We adults make things so complicated. We take something that Jesus finally made it so simple. He actually, at one point, he was in front of the Pharisees, who were the experts at making God impossibly complicated. And all the way hoops you got to jump through to get closer to God, they made God feel like he was so far off nobody would ever get there. And Jesus, in the middle of teaching, threw his head back, it says, and he said, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden all these things from these so-called wise and prudent ones, and you revealed them to little children. And a lot of what it means to grow up in God is to simplify and learn how to just walk with him like a little child walks with their father. Lotea, she came into my room last night. I don't think she'll... Oh, she's not in here, so don't tell her I told you this because she's at that stage where... You know, the reason for having kids is to have more object lessons for sermons. I mean, that's what I try to warn my kids that. try to be sensitive. She wouldn't mind this one, though. She came into my room last night and she snuggled into bed with me. She had a bit of a bad dream or something like that, and she just snuggled right in. And it reminded me again that all she needs right now, I didn't need to say anything, I just needed to wrap my arms around her, and she just needed to know Daddy's here, and it's going to be all right. I don't even know what happened last night, because instantly she just melted and went right back to sleep again. And that's kind of the feel of what Jesus is trying to draw us back into in him. But children are not the future of the church. They are right now part of the body of Christ. And we make a big mistake when we think, oh, they're so cute. And so we put them up in churches sometimes, and they'll do things. And nothing wrong with that. We're going to be a little bit of that today. They're going to do a funny skit for us in a few minutes that they learned over the summer. There's nothing wrong with that. But if our mindset remains limited, that they're so cute, and they're just going to learn right now, and when they get old enough, then they'll start doing the ministry stuff, we miss a great opportunity, not only for them to grow, but we miss a great opportunity to receive from some of the most anointed vessels that there are. Because they receive the Word of God unfiltered, and they give it out unfiltered. And so this, in 1 Samuel 2, I want to share this, just this moment that God brought, made real to me when I was a children's pastor. In chapter 2, you all know the story of Samuel, who was born, his mother dedicated him to the Lord and gave him to the high priest, who at that time's name was Eli. And she gave him to the tabernacle for ministry. She'd promised the Lord, if you give me a child, I'll devote him to you for all of his days. So she fulfilled her promise. As soon as he was weaned, she brought him to Eli, the high priest, and said, he's all yours. And it says that in chapter 2, verse 18, Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. Now, the ephod was a garment that not all the Levites took care of the tabernacle, but only the priests wore an ephod. That was the outer garment. It was beautiful. It had gold and all three different colored threads woven into it. It was a beautiful garment, and it said, I am a priest. I have direct access to God, and I'm being trained in the art of worship. I'm being trained in the art of intercession. I'm learning. So Samuel, from 3 years old or five, whenever they weaned back then, was before God in the tabernacle learning what it meant to be a priest. So keep that in mind as I flip to chapter 3 here, that he was, so Eli recognized, he's like my apprentice. Now normally the high priesthood would go to the firstborn son of the high priest, but Eli saw something in Samuel and said, I'm going to make you my apprentice. There's something about you. Clearly God is on you for something. But watch what it says here in chapter 3. The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. They'd become a non-profit organization at that point. Sorry, that one never gets old. Right. So it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place, his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he couldn't see so well. Now, I'm feeling that. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. So it says Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. He wanted to be close to the presence. That's what the ark represented in that day. And the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, no, I didn't call you. Go back down and stop waking me up. He went back down and laid down. Then it happened again. And Eli said, I haven't called you, my son. Now, verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. I just want to pause on that. He was being trained in the temple. He was surrounded by priests. He was surrounded by people who knew who they were, and they were training him in the practical aspects of priesthood. But it says he didn't know the Lord. Now, in the Hebrew language, to know something doesn't mean to know it in the mind. It means to have a living interaction with something. Adam knew Eve, and Seth was born. Okay? That's what know means. It is the most intimate expression of relationship that there is in the Hebrew language. So we might say, I know so-and-so, but often what we're saying is, I know about so-and-so, like we'd know a celebrity or something like that. Oh, I know who that is. But knowledge in the Scriptures means intimate knowledge. It means I have two-way interaction with you where I am in you, you're in me. It's that intimate. And it says that although Samuel was growing up in the tabernacle under the tutelage of the high priest, somehow he didn't have that interaction with the Lord. And I propose to you that he had a mindset that we often have in the church, which is that kids can't understand. You know, I remember a challenge I took on myself when I taught children's ministry was to present everything as if a five-year-old was listening to it, to make sure that I used words that a five-year-old would be able to understand. When it comes down to truth, when it comes down to whatever it takes to know God, a five-year-old should be able to understand it. If a five-year-old can't understand it, it either means we're using vocabulary they're not ready for yet. That's all well and good. Just learn how to speak. That's why I think every preacher should first have to teach five-year-olds. I'm serious. If I ran a pastor training school, you'd start in children's ministry. Take 100 elementary age kids, sit them on the floor, and teach them for a half hour without getting a riot, without having a riot. And then you'll be ready to preach. There's something to it. What it means, though, if our children don't know the Lord, two-way interaction, it means that somehow we've withheld something from them, a living dynamic, which means either we don't have it ourselves. How many of you know you can't give what you don't have? You can't impart something that you haven't experienced yourself. Or we've withheld some of the deeper things of God. We've withheld some of what it means to pray beyond just the memorized prayers, what it means to worship beyond just singing the songs on a screen. It means that they're in need and they're ready for it. I'm going to tell you, I can give you hundreds of testimonies of kids soaking up at 5, 6 years old, soaking up truths that take hours to try to deconstruct what adults have gotten away about. And they pick it up immediately. It's like, God said it, I believe it. What else is there to talk about? So I would talk to the kids about how, hey, you can hear God's voice. Let's pray. And whatever you hear in your mind, that's probably Jesus. So go ahead and say it. And watching these 4 and 5 year olds prophesy over each other, because when you say that to a group of adults, no offense, but I do this too. I had to get over this myself. You say that to a group of adults and you pray and they hear a voice. And what's the first question you start asking? Is that me or is that God? Is that me or is that God? Is that me or is it God? Sure, I don't know if it's me. That sounds like what the pastor said. That sounds like a podcast. I don't know, maybe that's me, maybe it's God. We got all this blah, blah, blah going on in our head. Blah, blah, blah is exactly what it should sound like. And kids are just like, all right. And they do it. That's why I think Jesus was all about that. He said, bring the kids to me. I'm sick of trying to convince these adults who think they know it all what I'm like. Because they got me all wrong. But the kids, man, they know right away. They come running right up to me. Jesus is in town. The adults are like, who is this man? Is he a prophet? Is he a teacher? Can we trust him? He's from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, he's doing all this stuff. And the kids are just, woo, right in there with him. And that's why he loved it. But Eli came to a revelation at this moment. This was his night of revelation, and it was Samuel's night of revelation. Because although Samuel, at this point, he didn't know the Lord, he didn't have that interaction, there was a budding prophet on the inside. And what a budding prophet needs, what a young prophet needs, is for the adults in his life or her life to say, this is what you do. To respond to that, I'm giving you permission to respond to what you're hearing right now. So Eli, it says, he said, the third time the Lord called Samuel, I'm in verse 8 now, he arose and he went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And this time Eli discerned the Lord was calling the boy. See, Samuel was hearing God's voice clear as day. It sounded so clear to him, he literally thought the man in the room next to him was speaking. And that's the kind of prophet that Samuel is about to become. It says of Samuel, not a word of his ever fell to the ground. That means if Samuel said it, it was a done deal. You may as well consider it history, even if it's about to happen someday in the future. He was that accurate a prophet. So Eli then said, now here's what you do. Go lie down. Next time you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. Samuel did that. The Lord came and stood and called again, Samuel, Samuel. This time Samuel said, speak, for your servant's listening. And he was released into arguably the most powerful prophetic ministry of the Old Testament. Why did he get released? God could have been calling him all the night long. He could have been getting up every hour on the hour. Did you call me? No, go back to bed. Okay. Until finally the older generation, his mentor, his father, said, you know what? You're hearing the voice of God. I want to release you now to respond to it, because from this moment onward, you're going to know the Lord. You're not just going to know about the Lord. The typical approach in Sunday school kids' church is that they learn about the Lord. Read the Bible. And we do that. We have an awesome curriculum we use here called Hill Climbers. What are we calling it now? We changed the name and it messed me up. Hill Climbers. They're reading through the Bible. In 3 years, all of our kids read the entire Bible and learn it. So if our kids grow up in the church, 3 times through the entire Word of God before they get to middle school. That's an awesome thing. But how many of you know that the Bible in and of itself is not our God? Our Godhead is not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Book. There's got to be an interaction. There's got to be a hearing, a learning, how to discern the voice of God and how to respond when you hear that voice. And that's what our kids have been about all summer. So I'm going to hand the pulpit over to our kids this morning. Can you tell Becca was in the door a moment ago? You can tell they can come in. And what they're going to do, just to give you a little prep, they're going to share some things they learned, some memory verses. They're going to share with you what they were taught this summer. And then we're going to have an opportunity to receive from them some ministry by the laying on of hands. Because they haven't just been learning about the Lord, they've been learning with Jesus and interacting with Him. So Megan, come on and take us away.
It wouldn't be a birthday if we didn't sing Happy Birthday. So if you guys can follow the kids in singing Happy Birthday, let's go. Ready? One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Steve. Happy birthday to you.
So the first thing that our kids are planning to do for you guys today are going to go over their memory verses that they have learned. So we have verse leaders on the top step. There's 11 verses. So first row, go ahead, take a seat. Good job. You can go with Miss Maddie. All right, so the verses are going to be up on the screen so you can understand what they're saying. But we're going to start with Solly, and he's going to lead us in the first verse. The entire group's going to say it with him.
But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Daniel 11:32. When you look for me with all your heart, you will find me. Jeremiah 29:13.
Then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever go hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever go thirsty. John 6:35.
That's why I'm suffering the way I am, but I am not ashamed. I know the one I have believed in.
I am sure that he will take care of me. I have given him.
I can trust in the way he was turned as judge.
He must become more important. I must become less important. John 3:30.
But you rule from your throne as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. Psalm 22:3.
Moses approached the thick darkness where God was, but the people remained a long way off. Exodus 20:21.
Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? God's Spirit lives among you. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
A deer longs for streams of water. God, I long for you in the same way. Psalm 42:1.
Jesus said, my food is to do what my Father sent me to do. My food is to finish his word. John 4:34.
I hold on to you. Your powerful right hand takes good care of me. Psalm 63:8.
So the memory verses were part of their lessons this summer, and as a prize, the kids all said almost every single verse that they have memorized, and if they got 10 stickers, they are rewarded with a pizza party, which will be happening not next Sunday, but the Sunday after September 2nd. So all of them are going to be at the pizza party.
Okay. You guys can go ahead and sit down over here on the carpet. Pizza party will be right here. So go ahead, sit down, guys.
So now we have a special treat for you guys, a look into our summer of what the kids did in class. You can see we have a few that are not in contemporary dress today. So we are going to have everyone that's in normal clothes come and sit on the floor like we did in class. And those that are in our fabulous biblical tunics are going to go to their spots. So as a peek into the class, we had the kids all close their eyes. So I'm going to have you all do that. So just close your eyes and imagine with me you're walking on a dusty, dirty, dry road. You're tired. You're hungry. Kids, what does it sound like when you're hungry? Oh, I'm hungry. That you're thirsty. You can barely speak. And all of a sudden you see this town up ahead and you're like, oh, they've got to have a well. So everyone opens their eyes and sees this cool, refreshing well. Where could we be? We are about to find out with our fabulous, as I call them, Young God Chasers Theater crew.
One day, Jesus and his disciples came near a town in Samaria. The disciples were very hungry. I said the disciples were very hungry. So they went into town to buy some food. Jesus sat down beside a well and waited. Soon a woman came from the town of Samaria. She was coming to get water from a well. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The woman was very surprised. I said the woman was very surprised. She said, "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan." Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Jesus spoke to the woman for quite a while. Jesus told her that he had living water to give her. If she drank it, she would never thirst again. The woman was very amazed at Jesus' words. I said the woman was very amazed at Jesus' words. Then Jesus told the woman some things he knew about her life. She was very, very amazed. I said she was very, very amazed. The woman was so excited that she wanted to get everyone in town to hear Jesus speak. So she hurried off to get the townspeople. And off she went. Just then, the disciples came back. They were very happy to bring Jesus some food because he knew that he was very hungry. I said they were very happy. But Jesus wouldn't eat anything. The disciples were very amazed and surprised. I said the disciples were very surprised. They wondered who had given Jesus food. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of my Father." The disciples said, "Oh." I don't know if the disciples really understood what Jesus was saying right then, but I think they did later when the woman of Samaria came back with all the townspeople and Jesus talked to them. The Bible says that many of them became believers. The disciples watched as Jesus did his Father's will, and how wonderful that was. Nothing, absolutely nothing, makes you feel so good as doing what God wants you to do. Obedience satisfies. Well, the Bible doesn't say what the disciples said, but this is what I think they said. My food is to do the will of my Father.
As you can see, they are an up-and-coming theater troupe that will probably be doing some more performances in the future. So you guys can have a seat. So now I'm going to have a few of the kids that volunteered to come up and talk to you guys about what they've learned this summer as young God chasers. So if I could have Jaden, Haley, Anya, Keys, Madeline, Elsie, and Olivia. All right. So different things that they've learned this summer have really impacted their lives, and I'm just going to let them tell you about it. So what have you learned this summer, Haley?
It's not nice to disobey God.
Why?
Because it's not really nice to do that to God when he gives you all this stuff for him.
Awesome.
You guys can applaud for her. Jaden, what did you learn this summer?
I learned that Jesus is the bread of life.
Miss Anya?
I learned that chasing God is good because it makes you get closer to him and love him more.
I learned that you need to feed your spirit man by praying and reading the Bible.
I love chasing God, and it's wonderful.
I learned obeying God and filling your soul. It feels good.
I learned that chasing God is a very good thing to do because it helps you get closer to God and learn more about Him.
So essentially, the lessons that they've been learning, again, are about feeding their spirit man, who they met, awesome superhero that lives inside each and every one of us, and that they're just able to follow and chase after a God who chases them back and really does love them. So to conclude our time of ministry, we're going to have all the kids back up. We're going to sing two worship songs. And you guys are more than welcome to join us.
Okay, now I'm going to have Megan divide the kids up. They have ministry teams that are ready to go. There's one leader in each team. So if you want to go ahead and get everybody set up, Megan, let's spread it out way across the front. And what we're going to do now as the adults of the congregation is be like Eli and give the children now an opportunity to minister, not just receive and learn about the Lord, but actually experience him. So I'll give them instruction in just a moment. To finish out the story that I began to tell you about Eli and Samuel, after Samuel went back and he heard the voice of God and now was released by the adult mentor in his life to hear from God, the first benefit, the first person who got to benefit from the new prophetic gift was Eli. Now, if you know the story, it was a bad word for him. He had some issues and God was judging his house. But on the flip side of that, the first one to receive prophecy once the adult said, go ahead, you're hearing God, and whatever he says to you, I want you to tell me, was the man who released him. So I'm going to give you an opportunity, all of us really, to come forward, present yourself in front of one of the teams, and I'm going to ask us to do something, and I'll lead the way in this. We're accustomed, the tradition in blessing, when parents are blessing their children, is for the child to kneel in front of his parents or in front of the authority figure who's transferring something by the laying on of hands and blessing them. And I'm going to invite you and along with me to kneel in front of the group that you're going to and let them lay their hands on you and receive whatever God wants to give you through them. The first major thing I want to urge you about is don't take lightly what the Lord's about to do and what he's about to say. There's no inferior Holy Spirit who's about to communicate through these kids to you. I'll share one testimony. I could share hundreds of them of kids in ministry at Christ Community Church. There was a boy named Alex, and we were in the middle of worship. We had about 120 kids that day. It was a zoo because they had a mixed multitude. Some of the kids knew what to do during worship. Other kids thought it was time to play. So it was one of those crazy moments, and I looked out at one point from the front, and Alex had a kid in a headlock in the middle of worship. I thought, oh, there he goes again. He was always on the big side, and he was just a fun-loving goofball. So one of my staff went over and kind of broke that up a little bit. About 3 minutes later, Alex came to the front and said, Pastor, I feel like I have a word for everybody. So I handed him the mic, and he prophesied, and about 20 kids were in tears. And they came forward for prayer. It was identifying brokenness and issues in their family and things like that. It was a spot-on word of knowledge, and like 20 kids got set free. We gathered the kids around. Alex led the way praying for them. So just like that, from having a kid in a headlock, 3 minutes later, bam, word of knowledge, God moves in power. And I think, I don't know, the more I get to know the Father, the more I think he actually kind of enjoys that. I think he gets it because he uses goofballs like you and me all the time. So let's not pretend that just because it's in a childlike package that it's any different. So I want to urge you to just come on. You can go to whatever group you like, present yourselves before them, let them pray for you. Kids, here's a three-step thing that you're going to do right now. Somebody's going to come and kneel in front of you. I want you first to ask Jesus, what do you want me to pray over them? You can pray something general like, you know, make them a God chaser like I'm a God chaser or something like that. But even better, I want you to ask Jesus, what do you want me to pray? And then I want you just to say those words and pray over them. Oh, I skipped over the first step. I'm sorry. Lay your hands on them, all right? You can put your hands on their shoulder, put your hands on their head, and then just ask, quietly ask Jesus, what do you want me to pray over them? And then just do it. When I was set in as the children's pastor at Christ Community Church, they had all the kids who were there that Sunday morning lay hands on me like that. There was this whole flock of them. And they gathered around me. Now, I'd already had the senior pastor, Dave Hess, laid hands on me. The church, the adults of the church, they prayed and said, God bless him, give him all the anointing that he needs for ministry. I want to tell you that when those kids gathered around me, and they had anointing oil too, so they started lathering it up on me. I got like an old school, old prophet anointing. It was a horn's worth of oil over me. I got it in my eye. So it was like this. But the anointing that flowed in that moment was the most powerful of all the things that I received that day. The adults had prayed for me. My overseer prayed for me. The kids began to pray, and I felt God's power and presence move through me. So give the kids a chance now, and let's let them minister to us. And then they are going to go back for just a few more minutes. So we'll gather back up for just about 5 minutes after we're done with this, okay? All right, let's go for it, guys. Hey kids, I'm going to have Megan get right here on the white carpet, and I'd like all of you to surround her now and pray over her. We never did that when we set her in, and I just realized Megan has been, over the summer, she came back from Bible school, and she's been overseeing all the children's ministry this summer. We just kind of threw in baptism by fire style, and she's just really risen to the occasion. God's anointed her clearly. And it's time now for the kids to lay hands on her like the Kids of Christ community did me to set her in. So Joel, extend your hands and your hearts toward Megan right now. She's just been doing an incredible job of allowing the Spirit of God to use her with our kids this summer. And we'll continue to do so during the school year. Kids, if any of you would like the microphone, if you have something you want to pray or prophesy, I thought you might.
Thank you. Jesus, please don't let any bad voices in Megan's head, or don't let anything come to her darkest in her heart, because Jesus is watching over her, and Jesus blessed her. And with all our hearts, we will all do the same and try our best to pray for her and pray for everybody else who needs help. And Lord, we ask you to watch over her every time. Amen.
Dear Jesus, I pray that she would just go out, and not just in this country, but into different nations, and teach the world to other nations that are filled with darkness, and that she'd just be a light to the dark.
God, I thank you for Megan, how wonderful of a teacher she's been to all of us. I thank you for all she's taught us in the past summer. Yeah. And how much of the Spirit of God she's poured into us. And I pray that from what she has taught us, we can go out and tell everyone about it.
Jesus,
divides all of us, and he keeps us safe, no bad dreams, and he will take care of us, and he helps us. He died on the cross for all of us. Jesus' name. Dear Jesus, thank you for Megan, that she's been an awesome teacher. Thank you for all that she taught us.
Thank you for Megan, and she has taught me so much, and now I know even more about Jesus, and I thank you that she was born. And then thank you for dying on the cross for her. She has been a great teacher to us for a very long time, and I don't even know how long she's been doing this.
Please help Megan to still be our teacher for a long time, and help God to protect her, and help other children to be blessed by her. And amen.
God, I hope you bless her. She comes to church every day. Nothing ever comes to her. And you watch over her every night, every morning. Wherever she goes, you're right there. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus, I'm going to say one more thing. And she has taught us a lot. And if she's taught all of us kids how to behave. And she blessed all of us so we could learn. And she taught us more about you, so when we grow up, we already know that you're our Savior and you're our Father.
I pray that Jesus, whenever she's having struggle in life, and she would just look up to you and say, Lord, Jesus, I need you. And she just remember he's always there with you whenever she needs you. She helps us read. She helps us read our Bible verses. And amen.
All right, that was wonderful, guys. Thank you so much. Okay, so you guys, I think you have one more thing to do to get ready for next week, for your party with the king. So go ahead and do that, and your parents will come and get you in just a few minutes. Praise God. So I just want to wrap up. I lost my Bible. Matthew 18, Jesus was with his disciples, and they were arguing over who's the greatest, and Jesus responded to them by bringing a little child in the midst of them. And it says that, you know, if you want to be the first in the kingdom, all right, here, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He goes on, and then he, I need you to move it ahead. Sometimes it comes. He called the little child to himself, set him before them, and then he said, truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. In another place he said, you won't even see the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child. So what is it about being a child that Jesus is drawn to? It's the humility of children that he's drawn to, that they're teachable. We adults, we've learned, our culture has taught us, really all the cultures of the nations have taught us, that growing up means to be independent, self-sufficient. I have enough wisdom, I have enough knowledge, I have enough wherewithal, I've practiced my job, all these things. And so I am self-sufficient right now. Children are entirely dependent. And I think as parents, one of our challenges is to help our kids to grow up dependent on the Lord and never grow out of that. Not dependent on us. How many know you want your kids to be able, like, you know, 30 years old, you want them out on their own, not in your basement? I just realized, man, I hope none of us have a 30-year-old in our basement. You want them to be independent in that sense. You want them to be able to get a job and work. But growing up in God means to remain in that humble, teachable, dependent posture. The longer we walk with Jesus, the more we ought to know how dependent we are on him. So growing up in an inappropriate way is when we live self-righteously, self-sufficiently, completely absent the presence of God. We can. I've asked this question, and I think it comes from that childlike heart. If Jesus was completely removed from your life tomorrow, what would be different? I think that's a good check to see, am I walking in childlikeness? Am I living with him like a child? Because if you abandon your three-year-old in the house and you leave, how many know that three-year-old's not going to do very well? They're going to starve to death. Who knows what they're going to do? They'll have that house destroyed within a couple of days. They won't be able to live without their parents. It ought to be like that with us and the Lord. That if we're really walking with him, really experiencing this kingdom life, really taking advantage of all of what it means to have God as a father, then we ought to be able to say, my life would completely start a meltdown if Jesus was removed from me tomorrow. And that's what Jesus was getting at. You want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then be converted. Be like a kid. Remember what it was like before everybody else started telling you what to do. Like, I remember this thing that I've watched happen with my kids, and I know it happened with me for sure. I'll tell what happened with me. When I was like 7 years old, I don't know why, but I used to skip everywhere. I used to, 7-year-old boy skipping on the streets of New York City. And my mom was cool with that. It was all right, when I was on my own. But then I accidentally did it in the boys' club one day. I used to go to a boys' club. It was right around the corner. And I skipped on into the boys' club. And I don't remember exactly what this one kid said. But I know I never skipped again after that day. And it's a funny story now, looking back 40-some-odd years later. But something died that day because somebody said, that pure, from-the-heart expression of joy. We don't do that here. I bet it happened with a lot of us with dancing or singing, too. You ever see that? Kids are always singing. Most every child at some stage of growing up. One of my favorite moments as a dad is when I hear it and I stay outside the door of the bedroom and they're there playing with their, whatever, their Legos or their dolls or, whatever they're doing at the time, and they're just singing. And they're not singing anything that makes sense, and it's not even always worship. It's just this song that's constantly going on. And they're fine as long as I stay outside the room. And then somewhere along the way, somebody looks at them in a way like, that's unusual. We don't sing. Oh, why? Why don't we dance? I mean, kids are natural dancers. They just, you put music on and they're moving and they're doing stuff. And then somewhere along the way, they lose that. Somewhere along the way, do you know how hard it is to get a room full of kids quiet? Because it's just as hard as it is to get y'all quiet when we try to start service. No, it's like this natural expression of joy, and they're loud because of that. So we have some problems here sometimes with some folks that are new. If you're new to the church, by the way, we tolerate some child noise because we want them here with us. We don't want to have some cute little kids worship in the back over there. We want them to grow up in a climate where we show them what worship looks like. Boy, now that adds another element to this whole thing, because then the question becomes, are we showing them how we want them to worship? I hope I'm not stepping on toes. That's why I stay in the front and I look this way, because then I can say things like this and none of you knows who I'm talking about, because I don't know who I'm talking about. But if we're worshiping God and, we're kind of in our seat like this, how many know that the kids who are jumping and dancing and waving their flags, they're going to look around one day and go, oh, that's not what we do here, right? Sorry, I was all funny a minute ago, and I'm getting heavy, because I have this urgency that we not only don't allow our kids to grow up in that inappropriate way, where they feel stifled because that's not the culture around them, but that we ourselves learn to engage with Jesus that way, because he's a fun-loving God. I mean, my kids are all, they throw me under the bus about when dad's home, he's like Santa Claus with us. I think that's just an expression of the Father's heart, that he's fun. He has to be fun. Look at all the stuff there is to do out there. He's got to be fun. The God that created waterfalls, he could slide down the rocks, and then there, the God that created cliffs where you could jump off from into the ocean, the God who created winds so you could invent a hand glider and dive off the edge of a cliff with a kite on top of you. I mean, he's fun. I know we find out what we discover are ways to enjoy the fun that he put out there for us. relationships, people that, you know, you ever meet that friend and within 5 minutes, you know, that's going to be a friend for life. You know what I'm talking about? Because you just start cackling and it's like you get each other and you start laughing. I mean, that's a reflection of the heart of God. All of what kids are fun and all of what they're like, that's what Jesus is like. That's what God's like. And then we throw this other stuff on top of the cake and we say, nah, you know, not like that, not in church. I mean, I grew up in one of those churches where it was like a 5,000-year-old building with a wood floor. And if you creaked the floor while the priest was speaking, all the eyes on you, like, shh. You know, you had to sneeze. Because you don't want to make noise in church. And I remember somebody finally saying, you know, how is that at all like God? He's not like that. Heaven's a noisy place. Have you ever read some of the descriptions of people who got taken up there in the Bible? One of them said it was like the sound of many waters. So how many of you have ever done that boat ride at the bottom of Niagara Falls? You know, when you get really close and you're like, how do they know the engine's not going to cut out right now? We're going to get say, I think like that. I don't know about you. But it's so loud, you can't talk to the person next to you. That's the sound of many waters. Heaven's a loud place. So, you know, here at Hillside, the kids would be loud sometimes. We're teaching them how to stay focused on the Lord, how to worship when we're together like that and not, you know, use the flags for sword fights and stuff like that. That's all part of the process of teaching and training, so we tolerate noise like that because, first of all of us were like that, but most importantly of all, because when the kids just express like that, I just see the father smiling and saying, that's my kid. I love that stuff. How many parents can testify the best sound in the world is when you're upstairs and you hear your kids giggling in another room in the house? You hear them just enjoying each other and they're laughing and all that. And you hope it doesn't end up in, you know, like this isn't going to end well, kind of one of those things. But you hear them laughing, you hear them enjoying each other, and there's not a father in the world that doesn't love that sound more than any other, to hear the kids laughing. Our Father's like that. So I'm going to close. We can go get our kids now. I'm going to close with a brief commercial. The new school year has begun. We're starting the Hill Climbers curriculum begins the Sunday after Labor Day. There's some holes in the curriculum. We're looking for people to fill different spots in there who have a desire to help our kids remain kids in Jesus, to experience God, not just learn about him, but experience him. The kids are laying hands on each other like that in the classes every week. They're not just learning about Jesus. They're getting hands-on ministering to each other and learning how to do it that way. So if you have a heart to do that, I know I've heard some churches require like all the parents have to serve once a month in children's ministry. We don't do that. We don't do that. We want you to minister where God's anointed you and where you have a passion and a heart for it. But if you have a passion and a heart to minister to kids like that, then we'll have a schedule out there on the countertop. You can see where the holes are and just ask the Lord, is that something you want me to do? Because our kids are in need of great examples of what Jesus is like, and you and I are also in need of receiving what it means, because the next thing Jesus said was, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. That's why I think children's ministry has a really near and dear place in the heart of Jesus. He didn't say that about any other group. You welcome a child, you just welcomed me. So let's do it, and let's do it well. Let's continue to be, the kind of family that raises kids like that. Amen? I love you guys. I guess if you need prayer for anything, just look around at somebody who brought a Bible to church and ask them to pray for you, because they probably know what they're doing. Just go ahead and pray for one another and love on one another. And I love you guys. I'll see you again.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.